שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, Yudalas Patamos, Tavshinayin Hey, Parashas Balak, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 2 July 2015, webcasting from the island nation of Israel, surrounded on three sides by a sea of barbarians. So the top story in Israel this morning was, of course, the first, I think, major battle between Egypt and Islam's holy warriors. You know, the guys who chop off heads. They think that's a holy activity. Yesterday in Sinai, these jihadis launched hundreds of their murderers bearing military equipment. They attacked 6 or 15 locales simultaneously, depending upon who you listen to. They attacked Egyptian soldiers, Egyptian police, Egyptian civilians in the northwest corner of the Sinai wilderness, just below the Gaza rectangle. They call themselves Ansar al-Maqdis. That literally means disciples of the temple, though in their minds, their ahistorical, bloodthirsty, semi-literate minds, it's a nickname for Jerusalem, otherwise known in Arabic as Al-Quds, literally meaning the holy, which is shorthand for the holy temple, Al-Bayt al-Maqdis, referring to Solomon's temple, a name these lisping savages mispronounce as Suleiman, who they also believe was a Muslim. This is basic Islamic doctrine. All people in history, they say, who believed in the one God of Ibrahim, another mispronunciation, were Muslims. Ergo, Ibrahim was a Muslim, not a Jew. Ishak, his son, Yaqub, his son, and Suleiman and King Daoud, all were Muslims. So the Haram al-Sharif belongs to the faithful and not the kafirs, the infidels. Kafir is the word for infidel in Arabic. I discussed last time this topic without actually using that word. Islam believes everyone knows the truth, that Islam is the correct religion, and those who stubbornly refuse to convert are just covering up the truth. And I'm confident that the word cover in English is a cognate of kafir, and really, in Hebrew, kippur, as in Yom Kippur, when we bury, we cover up, like a dog his droppings, our sins. Throughout all of Muslim history until the year 2000, Muslims preached that Haram al-Sharif, the Temple Mount, was the site of Suleiman's temple, and when believers overran that site in the year 638, this was evidence that Muslims had replaced the Jews as the chosen people, the most beloved of Allah. As the Church of Rome preaches to this day, it is the true Israel. Christians who took over from the Jews, who not only did not believe in their Messiah, they murdered him, so Muslims have displaced the Christians as the most favored people. As I say, that was Islamic doctrine until the summer of 2000 at Camp David, when Yasser Arafat told the President of the United States of America, Clinton, that the Jews lie when they say Haram al-Sharif was the site of a Jewish temple. Never happened, he said. He said he had heard that their temple was really in Nablus. And ever since, that has been Islamic doctrine. I myself, Scouts Honor, twice in the plaza before the wall, have overheard Arab tour guides, who I presume were escorting groups of anti-Jew Christians or post-Christians from Europe, tell them in English that there is not a shred of evidence that there was ever a temple on that mount. And this is more evidence of the people with whom we are dealing. With people like this, talking peace is ridiculous. So yesterday, these disciples of the temple in the Sinai, thinking it means disciples of Jerusalem, launched a coordinated military attack on numerous Egyptian army positions and murdered civilians who appeared to be helping them. One figure said the attackers had 300. The battle went on all day. Eventually, with Israeli permission, the Egyptian Air Force came in with one F-15 at least, using Apache attack helicopters. Real fighting all day long, lots of noise and smoke and explosions. In the end, one number was 100 for the number of dead attackers who last year pledged allegiance to ISIS. Dozens of Egyptian personnel, too, I think, fell. This is the true face of the Arab Spring, according to multimillionaire expert Thomas L. Friedman, who has made millions for his brilliant analyses. This idiot, blinded by his need to see the bad guys in the Middle East as the Jews and not the Muslims, thought he was witness in 2011 to a revolution for freedom and liberty and democracy and free speech and respect for women. What a moron. The Middle East is bubbling these days with massacres launched by an endless supply of homicidal Muslim maniacs, for whom shooting weapons and killing people is the most imaginable thrill one can think of, after the ultimate thrill, which is being killed as a shaheed, a martyr, who is launched into Muslim paradise, where he will frolic 24/7 in a drunken sex orgy, violently deflowering virgins for all eternity. This is the ultimate high for arguably the most monstrous human beings on planet Earth, these violent Muslims on fire with Hamas, Islamic piety at its most passionate and bloody. Think of that Arab devil in that Ramallah police station in the year 2000, ecstatic with the pleasure of showing off his hands dripping with warm, innocent Jewish blood. Think of the Shiites during the Ashura holy day when they run through the streets slashing their own scalps with razor blades, and soon their head is wreathed with dripping blood, their own blood pouring down their heads and faces. In the J-Post today, Tzvi Mazel, former ambassador to Egypt, marveled at how the Egyptians apparently did not have one clue this attack was about to happen. In other words, where was their intelligence apparatus? How is it possible for hundreds to be prepared and armed without the Egyptians knowing? And I would not be surprised if one reason is that the Egyptian officer corps in charge of the region are themselves ISIS sympathizers. What Barack Obama unleashed, liberated like a genie out of a bottle, was the fire of satanic Islam all over the region. In his inaugural address, he called for a new relationship with Islam, with the unspoken implication that the U.S. had not been very nice to Islam. Hence the apology tour that he took shortly after he took office. His speech at Al-Azhar in Cairo, aghast with my jaw dropped to the max, a speech which scared the hell out of me, for I saw the mind of a Muslim lunatic at work. I counted in that speech 24 statements and claims about history that had no truth to them. I was watching the same mechanism at work in the new president of the United States as the mind work of Arafat at Camp David, denying the existence of the Jewish temples. The same mind work which had Arafat say on other occasions that Jesus was the first Palestinian martyr. And I see a connection between this behavior about the past and the Muslim calendar, which is exclusively lunar. It's a lunatic's view of history. Ramadan and other holidays are completely loose in time, unanchored by the obvious solar calendar. Ramadan, like a drunken sailor, reels all over the year. They all do. Islam teaches that the Jews rewrote the Quran when, according to the solar calendar, the Epiphany, the appearance of God at Mount Sinai, preceded the birth of Muhammad by almost 2,000 years. Never mind, they made up an explanation for that seeming contradiction. On Monday of this week in Cairo, the jihadis, in a humongous explosion of a parked and booby-trapped car, set it off as another car passed, carrying the National Attorney General, and killed him. Lots of others were wounded in the area, too. He has had presided over the passing of hundreds of death sentences among these jihadis. What they're doing in Egypt is exactly what they're doing in Tunisia. In Tunisia, if you remember, there was last winter's atrocity, a massacre of tourists in a national museum in Tunis, and now last Friday's massacre on that beach in Sousse. Egypt is very much dependent, like Tunisia, on the tourist trade. And so the more that jihadis commit massacres, the more tourists are likely to stay away, which is what they want. The jihadis want no contamination in their countries by non-believers, and never mind the economic benefit of their presence. They want to destroy these countries, destroy the governments, in order to take over. And why? Because beneath the surface of their fiery religious beliefs, classical Yiddish guy has taught me this, these are just the sons of Ham, who remain mired in mankind's antediluvian age, when society was all aggression and no conscience. In Freudian terms, they're all id, all appetite, with no conscience to put a brake on their desire for just about anything, wealth, power, sex. In other words, these jihadis just use Islam to justify their worst antediluvian aggressions. Sort of like the end of Orwell's 1984, when the main character, Winston Smith, begs to know what happened to all the ideals of this society, in this satire of communism. And he was answered by his torturer, "It's always just been about power."
בין ההרים מה שהוא מתחיל מה שהוא מוביל אותך כמו שביל עולה ומתפתל המנעול כבר לא נועל פעמון שוב מצלצל וכל מה שעבד חוזר אצל אדם בעולמו ששלח לחמור על פני המים הזרקים המפקים לא נרדם כל הליל מחכה לאור מתפלל בא יום אחד קרוב שהרים עיניו חיפש אבד אותם הנה פוגש אותם באות אליו כמתוך חלום שמע הכל פתאום כל קורא אליו מרפא לכאביו ואז חשב בתוך הסערה אפילו ערפל שמשתולל לוחש לו סוד אל תוך אוזניו דם כל הליל מחכה לאור מתפלל אין סבן ונהר ישר חצץ וקצת עפר בעץ התאנה הפרי נשר בצידי דרכים שדה של תפוחים גבר של אבנים בית חלונות סגורים הבן כיצד הם נפתחים אחר כך מחייכים מתוך שנתם קוראים לך שלא תלך, שלא תפנה שלא תשאיר אותם לבד לידם כל הליל מחכה לאור מתפלל
So the focus today in the news was this day of warfare yesterday, just south of Gaza, in sovereign Egyptian Sinai, meaning the presence of ISIS down there. Of course, the scuttlebutt here as well is that behind the scenes, Israel and Hamas are negotiating over a multi-year truce, and one suspects a large part of that motivation on Hamas's part, if the rumors are true, is their fear of ISIS. This, after all, has been the reality in Syria for years now. What began as a rebellion there against the Alawite regime, puppet of Shiite Iran, turned into literally scores of local armed gangs, opposed not only to the regime, but one another. Syria collapsed, and its collapse has featured this insanity of fratricide between rebel groups killing each other. And now in Gaza, where Hamas has been dominant, thanks to Iran, a Sunni resistance identified with ISIS is percolating. We know how when Islamic Jihad, fellow jihadis, when they're irritated with Hamas, they fire off missiles into Israel, knowing that Israel will retaliate against Hamas. This community is a zoo of violent men who are just into violence and come up with reasons for it later on. These people, these Arabs, are addicted to monstrous brutality. Think of the jungle that became Lebanon in 1975 to 1989, the so-called Civil War, which was not just two sides fighting as Westerners understand that term. The American Civil War, the Spanish Civil War, the Russian Civil War. In the Arab world, a civil war can mean a multiplicity of groups in gang-like fights with one another. Think of Algeria, where the regime relented after years and allowed for elections, which the Muslims won, after which the regime canceled the results. For the coming decade, more than 200,000-plus Algerians murdered one another. In Syria, the figure is above that now, too. The IDF is, of course, following the violence in northern Sinai very closely. There is fear that the ISIS guys now have captured armored vehicles capable, one presumes, of crashing into Israel for murder and mayhem. The fence down there is not like the one around Gaza. Analysts here also noted Obama's continuing refusal to back President Assisi. It's still his view, Obama's, that the legitimate rulers in Egypt are the Muslim Brothers who won that election in 2011. In J-Post today, Tzvi Mazel wrote at the end of his piece the following, I find, astonishing sentences. Quote, U.S. President Barack Obama has not severed his links with the Muslim Brotherhood, and he is apparently not giving enough weight to the decisive role played by Egypt in the fight against radical Islam. Far from granting the country the military and economic assistance it needs, he recently restored the supply of a measure of military assistance while still refusing to let Egypt get sophisticated equipment that would make it easier for the army to engage in guerrilla-type warfare in the difficult Sinai terrain, close quote. Precisely, this is how he deals with Israel. On Monday, he supports the Jew killers in Iran, and on Tuesday, he gives some kind of, you know, extra guns to Israel to show how much he loves us. And not for the first time, despite all my reasoning about this man, Obama, I'm just thunderstruck by his acts of treason carried out in plain sight. This guy's secret of success is being able to lie constantly in front of the world. He tells Jew boys like Jeffrey Goldberg and Thomas Friedman how Jewish he feels, the most Jewish president ever, but by his actions he stabs us in the back. And the Jew boys are too starry-eyed with their success to take notice. He is helped along by the two-faced Alan Dershowitz, who called on Jews twice to vote for this man. But then he switches masks and bashes Israel for voting for Netanyahu, who has not handed over Judea and Samaria, which is what his choice for American president wants. And here is Tzvi Mazel reporting on the reality that Obama remains on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood, on the side of these jihadis. I've mentioned before how I have not commented much, if at all, on the Vienna negotiations for their very existence, regardless of the details I experience as an abomination. It sickens me. Others have compared these talks to the Chamberlain-Hitler-Munich talks of September 1938, but I see a better comparison, the Evian Conference of 2 months earlier, in which over 100 countries came together to discuss the flood of Jews desperate to get out of Europe, what to do about that, which conference denied the participation of the Jewish community in Palestine, mandatory Palestine, the Palestine called into being by the League of Nations explicitly to create a Jewish homeland to absorb victims of anti-Semitism. The Jewish Agency for Palestine itself was called into being by the League of Nations to administer Jewish life in the new jurisdiction. The agency wanted to send Golda Meirson, later Golda Meir of blessed memory, to the Evian Conference. but they wouldn't let her in. And here are the P5 plus one countries, the five permanent Security Council members, plus Germany, negotiating with Iran over its A-bomb project, which is explicitly engineered to make a bomb to drop on Israel, and Israel is denied a seat at the table. Yesterday, Defense Minister Bogi Yaalon spoke of the security situation in Judea and Samaria in light of the recent series of Jew-killing operations during Ramadan. And he said the money behind this spate of attacks, of terror, carried out by Hamas in Judea and Samaria is coming from Tehran. In public, Khamenei has said funds must be provided for terror in Judea and Samaria. In other words, the very same Iran the P5 plus one countries are talking to in Vienna is funding these Jew-killing operations. And if they sit there smiling at one another, in other words, Iran is a terrorist state, which everyone knows. And I think every one of the P5 plus one countries at the table have been aggressed against by Iran-backed terrorists. Sit there and chat. The very existence of these talks is as abominable as the Chamberlain talks with Hitler about peace. And deluding himself that Hitler would honor whatever agreement he signed off on. The mindset at work there was the same at work in the rotten core of the Oslo abomination, making a deal with men who were notorious for not keeping the deals they signed. In both cases, it was an act of cosmic, spiritual, moral stupidity. And what do you know, then as now, the fate of the Jewish people was and is on the line.
אדון תבל מורי אלי יהללוך הלב שפתיים כוכבי מרום ימים אלים אבי הטוב שבשמיים אדון תבל מורי אלי יהללוך הלב שפתיים כוכבי מרום ימים אלים אבי הטוב ליבי ידעת שוקט נסער נכנע מורד לב זה לבן אליך אתה תפילה עיסה תפילת אמת אבי הטוב ליבי ידעת שוקט נסער נכנע מורד לב זה לבן אליך אתה תפילה עיסה תפילת אמת שנות דור חלפו מאז נולדתי בשר נרדף, נסחף, כושל מכאוב אכזר יגון ידעתי ללא מחר, ללא גואל ביקשתי אור, ליבי העיר לי אך לא אני זכיתי בו דרכי אל האב שוב שיקיר לי ומשבשה אני הוא פה אני זכיתי בו דרכי אליו שוב שיקיר לי ומשבשה אני ובו לבשתי רחמי שמיים, אני סילקתי לא וכן, ואז ידעתי אין כאן שניים, בבן האב, באב הבן. אבי הטוב שאין מדלוק, לא דמות, לא שם, אדון דבן. במקום תפילה בנך שיר בלום, הלל לך, הלל, הלל. אבי הטוב שאין מדלוק, לא דמות, לא שם, אדון דבן. במקום תפילה בנך שיר בלום, הלל לך, הלל,
Well, with your understanding, I have got to abbreviate this webcast for this summer cold is still in charge of my life. I've said it before. One good thing about death is no more head colds. So by your leave, I will put up the last musical selection of the week before Shabbat, and as always, from Yosef Karduner, to whom the one time I spoke to him to get permission to play his music, I said, "You're not just talented, you are blessed." Okay, next webcast will be Tuesday. Sunday is the 17th day of Tammuz, when we fast from sunup to sundown. Another Jewish idea the Muslims ripped off. That's what Ramadan is, only it lasts for a month of sunup to sundown fast. And ironically, we fast over the loss of the temples that they now claim never existed. So Shabbat Shalom and Tzom Kal. Have an easy fast. Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.
מי שרוצה לשוב להשם יתברך, צריך להיות בקיא בהליכה, לא יפיל אותו שום דבר בעולם, בין בעלייה ובין בירידה, ובכל מה שעובר עליו יחזק את עצמו. אוי, יחזק את עצמו ויקיים עם עסק שמיים, שם אתה. אוי, להציע שאול, הנה כאן. בעולם, בין עובר עליו יחזק את עצמו. אוי, יחזק את עצמו. יקיים עם עסק שמיים שם אתה, אוי, להציע שאול, הנה כאן.